This is CliffCentral.com.
All she needed was some.
It's the worst, guys. On a Wednesday afternoon. It's Malcolm Julian Riyab. It's a seller, baby.
Wake up.
At a Clippers game on the court side. Watch a nigga shoot like a 4-5.
Yeah.
What's happening? Today we're talking about money, but money like you've never seen it before. We all know about bitcoins, right? We all know about this new cryptocurrency that's got this whole world talking. Everywhere I go, I hear about Bitcoin. Have you been having Bitcoin chats, my boy?
If people are buying, you know, products worth 100,000 and 50,000, they're obviously investing in Bitcoin because they live in that lavish life. Now I'm trying to get me a piece of that lavish life as well.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody at Louis V is talking about it.
No, too many people. In fact, I even had one of my clients whisper some sweet nothings in my ear about this investment. But the thing is, you know, there's tricks to the trade, there's rules to the trade as well, as with everything in life, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want instant gratification, and that's not the case with this, nor is it the case with anything in life. So I'm keen to find out more.
Yeah. I'm also really, really keen to find out more. But as you know, if you are a fan of The Worst Guys, we always take a different angle, right? The whole world might be talking about something, but we want you to know what the worst guys think about what the world is talking about. Yeah, man, if you do want to hit us up, please do on Twitter at @_worstguys, Facebook @_worstguys, Instagram just @theworstguys. We out here. You don't know. Actually, now you do know. So yeah, we're going to talk about how the idea of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in general is about changing the way that our financial system runs. Because our economy is a failure. It doesn't serve the people. And, you know, we've always been, you know, anti-government and anti the onlookers, you know, the system, the people who are holding all the power while they tend to be dumber than us. How can Jacob Zuma have power over me, but I've got a degree? You know what I mean? So
it's because somebody else has got power over him, and that person's the smart one. Never look at the guy that's really that's calling the shots. That guy's just a dummy. That guy is just a puppet who's being strung along by somebody else who's really got the brains, who's really got the real money. You know, he's just putting this guy on as a front and fucking shit up. But he's living life.
Yeah. All right. Let's get right into it. In studio with us, we have Bertha Gokong. Say what's up, Bertha.
What's up?
Oh, yeah. Good to have you with us today on The Worst Guys. You feeling good?
I'm feeling good. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, always a pleasure. Always a treat. So, yeah, like we were saying, right? Cryptocurrency is the future, right?
Yeah.
Tell us why cryptocurrency is the future.
Okay, so let me start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Cryptocurrency, especially Bitcoin, came about in early 2009.
Yeah.
If you look back, that was just after the 2008 financial crisis.
So
you remember what happened in 2008?
Yeah.
We had the whole world collapsed, the financing collapsed, the banks had to be bailed out, people lost their pensions. You know, and there was this guy who said and thought to himself, well, can we create a money that doesn't need to go through the banks? Because clearly we cannot trust these banks. Why should I trust a third party with my own money?
Mm-hmm.
Can I create a currency that I could trade with another person without the need of any central person that I have to go through? No bank, no government. That was the real idea behind Bitcoin.
No bank, no government. That should be the slogan.
No bank, no government. So he thought to himself, but how will I do this? Because there needs to be somebody that sort of manages a system and confirms who's got how much money in their bank. That's what the banks do. They print the money, they guarantee the money, they confirm that you've got 10 rands in your bank account. So his challenge was, how would I do this without the bank? You know, so he created this, then he created Bitcoin. It's the first decentralized currency that operates without a bank or a government because it operates on mathematics. It operates on cryptography. So the mathematics govern the system. He is designing the system, 21 million bitcoins, that's as much bitcoins as we'll ever have, ever. We'll never have more than 21 bitcoins in existence. Because one of the problem with traditional money is the idea of the banks printing more money every day.
Yeah,
they print
causing
more money
inflation.
Yeah. They print more money to pay debt. They print more money to, you know, I don't know what they do with the money, but they're constantly printing more money.
Mm.
So 10 years ago, you could buy a loaf of bread with under less than 10 rands.
Mm-hmm.
Today, if you've got 10 rands, you can't even buy a loaf of bread with 10 rands.
Yes, with 10 rand, I used to be able to buy a pie and a Coke and get change at the tax shop.
You know what I'm saying? When I was young, I could buy with the 1 rand. I used to take 1 rand. I used to carry 1 rand to school and I could buy a whole lot of things with it. What can you buy with the 1 rand now?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Not even Chappies is 1 rand now. It's like,
that's the problem with inflation. So the creator of Bitcoin had all of these things in his mind, and he wanted to create a currency that doesn't have that inflation.
Yeah.
Because the inflation is created by printing more and more currency. Every time you think you want to afford something else you don't have, the central bank just prints more money.
Okay. But if it's limited at 21 million.
Yes.
21 million Bitcoin. That's what we call it. How do I get rich? What if I want to be a billion Bitcoinaire? Do you understand what I'm saying?
So what happens, because you have limited supply, every time the demand increases, the price goes up. This is why you see the price go up as much as it's going up lately. We've never seen anything like it before. I think even the banks are confused. They're looking at it and they're constantly calling it a bubble, and they come back tomorrow and it's up another 20%.
Yeah.
So they don't know what's really happening, but it's in the design of Bitcoin. It's the limited supply. Every time people buy into it, the price has to go up because there is just so much. If you look at the supply and demand economics of the currency, the price goes up.
So the value of the Bitcoin itself goes up. It's not necessarily how many bitcoins you have.
Exactly.
I see. Okay.
And even though you have 21 million limited supply in totality, we currently only have about 16 million circulating supply, which means there's about there's a couple of million bitcoins that still have to be mined. This is where you come into the mining of Bitcoin.
See, so the first time I heard that like people are mining bitcoins.
Yes.
First thing that came to mind, I'm like, shit, now another 100, couple of thousand of miners have to die underground just for these coins, and the price is so damn high.
Yes, but it's not like that. It's not like your traditional mining. It's actually computer-based mining. You buy these specialized Bitcoin computers that are built specially for mining Bitcoin.
Yeah.
They're called ASIC computers, and you plug it in your home. They charge a whole lot of electricity.
Yeah,
they connect to the Bitcoin network, and what they do is they confirm the transactions on the network. Sort of like at the bank. If I had money in the bank, apps, I would be confirming the transactions. If I withdraw money from an ATM, that ATM has to talk to the bank, figure out if I have that money in the bank before it gives me money. So if I want to send Bitcoins to somebody else, that transaction has to go into the network. Someone has to confirm that transaction before the Bitcoin gets sent, to just prevent double spending and people creating Bitcoins out of thin air.
So there is a time when it needs to go through, you know, your traditional financial institution.
No, it doesn't go through the traditional financial institution. Just the confirmation works in a different way. Because you don't have the central institution, it's done by the miners.
All right.
The miners are the ones who confirm the transactions. Now, the beauty of Bitcoin is it's a free money for the people. Anybody can participate, even in the mining. You can be a Bitcoin miner if you want. You just have to go and buy that computer, plug it in your home, connect it to the internet, connect to the Bitcoin network, and start mining Bitcoins.
All right.
You get paid in the transaction fees that you mine, and then you get paid in the new Bitcoins that get created through the mining process.
All right. I know I've, after speaking to a couple of my clients as well, you know, I've asked specific questions like, is mining better? Is just trading the Bitcoins better? However, you also say anybody can get into it, all right?
Yes. What,
how much does it cost to actually start trading? Like what amount can you start trading from if anybody can get into it?
Yes.
I mean, like if you say something like 5,000, that rules out quite a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah.
And number two as well, how exactly? Sorry, I just need to rephrase the question that I'm trying to ask. Answer the first one quickly.
Okay. Anybody can literally get into Bitcoin. You can buy 100 rands worth of Bitcoin if you want. You can buy 1,000 rands, you can buy 50 rands. It's really up to you. There's no limit on how much Bitcoin you can buy. You basically just open an account with an exchange, you transfer your money, and then you buy the coins. But you must keep in mind, you get charged transaction fees, and you get charged fees to work to operate on the on the exchange. So sometimes those transaction fees can end up being more than the value of the transaction if you're only trying to buy 100 rand worth of Bitcoin. So keeping that in mind, I would say maybe start with 1,000, or, you know, but there's really no limit. The network itself doesn't limit you.
What's the transaction fee?
It depends. It varies.
Okay.
Now, the network, it's set by the network. And so every time I send a transaction through, I send it with a fee. And you can set the fee yourself. You can decide what fee you wanna put in there. But the fee determines whether your transaction will be picked up quicker, because that transaction goes into what we call the memory pool of Bitcoin, the mempool, and the miners tend to prioritize transactions that have higher fees on them. So if you've got a higher fee, you've got a better opportunity of getting a transaction out quicker, and you've got a lower fee, you might wait a little bit longer. So the quicker you want your transaction to go through, the more you wanna pay for the fee.
Okay.
But it depends on what the average at that time is. And you get times where the transactions are, there's so many transactions like lately, because so many people have been buying Bitcoin. There's been a whole lot of, you know, the mempool has been going up to record levels. You know, like there's been too many unconfirmed transactions in the system. So to get your transaction through, you've been having to pay more and more fees.
Okay, but let's be honest then, that means that does leave a lot of people out of the Bitcoin revolution. I'm talking about poor people. I guess if you're talking the same way as investment works, there's a lot of people who can't invest.
Yeah.
But if we're thinking about a currency for everybody,
yeah,
now we want to change the game completely. How do we get the poor kid from Alex in?
Let's now talk about cryptocurrency in general. We focus a little bit too much on Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is just one out of 1,300 currencies. We have many more other currencies that have close to zero, and we even have one iota that has absolutely zero transaction fees. And it was specifically designed for those microtransactions, when you want to send just 1 rand to somebody, or, you know, like machine-machine communication where you would have microtransactions. Because of this Bitcoin problem and the rising fees, people have recognized this in the industry. And they've said, you know, can we create other currencies that have less fees? Can we find a way to scale Bitcoin to reduce the fees? You know, then we saw the creation of Bitcoin Cash. That's another type of Bitcoin that forked from the original Bitcoin chain. But one of the reasons why they forked out is they said the Bitcoin transaction fees are just getting too high. Can we have another currencies where we have maybe a bigger block size, and we can put more transactions in there and the fees will go down? And the Bitcoin Cash fees are much, much cheaper.
Cool.
And then you've got other currencies that have zero fees altogether. So you could literally then, for that currency, buy 10 rand worth of it if you want. You'll pay absolutely no fees on it.
Okay, so how would I do that as a young guy, as a person who doesn't have much access to internet? Maybe I've got an internet cafe.
Yes.
But I'm interested in starting Bitcoin. I've got 50 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do?
Now, that's one of the challenges we have in South Africa today. We've got only limited exchanges, and they offer really Bitcoin and Ethereum only. Yeah, so if you go to a South African exchange that actually accepts cash, you're only limited to Bitcoin and Ethereum. So we need entrepreneurs to come out there and start creating this kind of product that allows the person on the street to trade 10 Rand. Or if you want to send, because one of the best use cases of cryptocurrencies is sending money. If I want to send money to someone in Kenya, for example, you know, I have to go through I don't know how many institutions, and I'll probably pay 10 to 20% of that money I'm sending as fees. But if you think of cryptocurrency, I could send it instantly with little or no fees. So that's one of the best use cases. So we need this kind of business to pop up in Africa, where they can start using cryptocurrency to allow people to send money to trade, even microtransactions, because that's one of the things that will make a meaningful impact in the African environment, is those microtransactions. We see Asia is much more developed in this cryptocurrency. There's already a lot of companies with this type of products, but in Africa, not yet.
Okay.
And that's the kind of thing that we're trying to, you know, we need to get entrepreneurs to think in that direction, but it has to be created. No one has created it yet, but it's possible to do that.
So,
yeah.
But now, as well, seeing as though we're excluding the bank, we're excluding the government, all right? Mm-hmm. What's stopping them from completely saying, no, we're not allowing this sort of trade in our country?
That's a good question. Well, I've got news for the government. Governments can try, but the design of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies is in such a way that it's censorship resistant. So, and we've seen that, and it's proved that in the years that it's been in existence. The government can shut down Bitcoin if they want. They can try to shut it down. They can say it's banned, but they'll never truly shut it down because it's operated by the people. So for as long as I send Bitcoins to you, that works. For as long as there's another person mining Bitcoin, you can't really, unless if you will jail each and every single person that is transacting in Bitcoin. We've seen, I'll give you some examples. China, it's one of those countries that that was, you know, early on in the Bitcoin revolution. And the Chinese government has banned Bitcoins at least over 2 times in the past.
Mm.
And the more they ban it, the more it grows.
Didn't have a big crash in when it first started.
Yes.
Yeah, because they had got a bad reputation. Yes. Yeah.
And they banned it and then it crashed a little bit. But for as long as there's one person mining it, for as long as we are trading it between ourselves, because we don't need that central institution, the government can't go to the head office of Bitcoin and arrest the CEO, you know.
Mm.
They can't shut down the Bitcoin bank accounts, you know, because the Bitcoin accounts are decentralized in your phone or in your whatever app that you're using. So you can't, there is no mechanism to shut each and every single Bitcoin wallet, each and every single Bitcoin miner, because sometimes you don't even know where they are. I could be mining it in my garage. You'd have to like find a way to find all the miners in the world and shut them down, and you can't. There's millions and millions and millions. Somebody in Iceland can just decide to start mining Bitcoin tomorrow, and
so
like it's the same way you can't stop everybody from smoking weed. I mean, there's not enough prisons for that.
You can't find them. You would spend so much time trying to find where they are that it wouldn't make any sense.
Okay.
I think what the governments need to do is to not be anti this cryptocurrency, you know, because every time a new technology comes about, you always get this resistance.
Mm.
You know, I don't know if people know this, but when cars were first designed, there was a whole lot of news that, you know, oh no, these are dangerous. You know, we need people we need people to guard and walk around the cars just to make sure that, you know, you don't get injured in the car, you know, and because they were afraid of this new technology.
Mm.
When the internet first came out and people didn't understand it, no, it's just for criminals, you know, if you want to do this and that. And so when Bitcoin came out as well, you're seeing the same resistance. You know, people that don't understand it will have the resistance to it. But this is the future. This is how we're going to trade in the future.
Yeah.
Because there'll be no reason why I need to go to a bank and wait 3 days to send money to Namibia when I can do it in 10 seconds on my wallet.
Okay.
Using crypto.
So this monitoring of the Bitcoin, is that where blockchain technology comes in? Can you tell us a little bit about blockchain technology?
Blockchain technology is sort of the underlying technology that Bitcoin is built upon.
Mm.
So it's the technology that is used to secure the network.
From outside influence?
No. From just it's reliability. So that, for example, that I would know that if I have 5 bitcoins in my wallet, they're not going to just disappear tomorrow. They'll always be there because my account reflects it and the network is secure. No one can hack it, for example, or just move money around.
Mm.
And also, I can't just transfer 2 bitcoins to you today and try and transfer the same 2 bitcoins to another person, like, you know, for, you know, try and create bitcoins out of thin air.
So that's the monitoring system.
That is it's sort of the auditing system.
Oh, auditing, that's a better word.
It's the system that confirms and makes sure that the ledger or the record of the bitcoins is kept securely and that it's a reliable ledger.
Mm.
So what happens is every time there's a record of where all the bitcoins in the world are. You know, if I could go to the blockchain today, make an inquiry, and I will know where each and every single bitcoin is.
Oh, okay.
Which way, where each and every single Bitcoin is in terms of the wallet address that the Bitcoins are sitting in.
So you can see somebody else's Bitcoins?
Yes, it's a public ledger. It's
okay.
It's visible to everyone. That is one of the things that makes it unique.
Now somebody's going to say, it's already 20 million Bitcoin.
No. You can't see who those bitcoins belong to. You can just see...
Like the IP address.
It's sort of like, it's like an address. You can see... Oh, there's 10 bitcoins in this address. There is 100 bitcoins in that address. There's 0.5 in this. You can see where all the bitcoins are because the ledger is a public ledger. So that same ledger is kept by all the miners. The blockchain is kept. Everyone that mines Bitcoin first downloads the Bitcoin blockchain, and they've got it. So they've got the records of where all the bitcoins are. So when I process a transaction to you, I broadcast it on the network, and it goes into what we call the memory pool of Bitcoin, the mempool. So on the mempool, we discussed that the miners pick up that transaction, usually based on the transaction fees. They'll pick up the transactions they want. And then they look at this transaction, and for example, it reads Bertha wants to send 5 bitcoins to this address X. Then they will confirm on the ledger that they've got, because they've got their own copy of the ledger. Bertha does have 5 bitcoins to send, because she's got 20 bitcoins. So she sends 5, so it's 20 minus 5. Now she's left with 15. Mm-hmm. So they do that transaction record. Now, all other miners must confirm the same transaction. So I will confirm it with my record. The next miner will confirm it with their record, because you keep your record. And there's millions and millions that have got different records. And after we've confirmed it, if you have consensus in the system agreement, then that transaction gets added into the next block. So every 10 minutes, a new block is formed. And now the next block will be sealed once all the miners have agreed on the transactions in the block. Once it's sealed, it gets added to the chain of blocks. That's why they call it blockchain. And then it can never be altered. Then the next transactions were added to the next block and the next block and so forth. And you have a block every 10 minutes. And then you create this chain of blocks. Hence, they call it blockchain. It's just a way that the transactions are kept in blocks. And once a block is created above another block, you can never alter that block. Once it's sealed and hashed, it's sealed and hashed forever. And that's how the system is really secure.
Okay. So, who is the guy in Bitcoin, like especially in South Africa now? Because you know who the richest man in the world is. Who's the Warren Buffett? Who's the Bill Gates? You know, because is it Satoshi, the guy who created it? Is he the richest guy in Bitcoin?
Satoshi is definitely the richest guy in Bitcoin. He has estimated 1 million Bitcoins in his wallet that he mined. When he started Bitcoin, we know that it's his Bitcoins because that was the wallet that was mining Bitcoins initially. And you can, like I said, you can look at the blockchain, you can see what the Bitcoins are. So it's estimated he's got about 1 million Bitcoins. So in today's value, that would be what? 16 billion US dollars worth of Bitcoins that he's got. However, no one knows who Satoshi is.
So it could be just like an
machine,
alias,
an AI.
It's definitely an alias. It could be a group of people. We don't know. He wanted to be anonymous. He wanted to be anonymous because he knew that what he was creating was going to be a revolutionary system, and maybe he would be a target of governments and he didn't want to be known. So he's anonymous. No one knows who he is. He has never spent those bitcoins since he created them. But they're still sitting in his wallet. We don't know whether he's still alive or he's lost his keys. We do.
In all honesty, trading in its entirety, whether it's shares or whatever, livestock, it's a gamble. It's just like an upper market sort of gamble, right?
Yes.
And it's no different for Bitcoin either.
Yes.
How stable is this market versus any other one?
Yeah, it's as stable as most markets are, to be honest. It's probably better because it's more transparent. I mean, we've heard of the Steinhoff incident, right? What I like about the Bitcoin world, it's more transparent and it's open. So there's no central person sitting there and manipulating things and giving you a financial statement. You know, you can confirm the blockchain yourself and you can confirm where all the coins are.
Deep.
And it's open to anybody. There's no limitations. You're not like, it's not controlled like traditional markets where you've got to be this kind of trader. I have gone to school for this many years and you've got to have this license, that license, that license to trade. You know, it's much more transparent. And I think because of its transparency, for me, I find it safer because I know and I understand the technology. The Bitcoin code is open source. It's not hidden somewhere with IP and intellectual property and whatever. It's you can go and have a look at the code yourself today, and you can audit it and you can see how Bitcoin was made. If you want, you can take that code, replicate it, and make your own coin. If you want, I mean, it's open source. Everything is transparent. It's open in the air. That's what I like about it.
But does that not make it vulnerable to the likes of hackers?
Exactly.
No. Just because it's open source, it doesn't mean that then it's easier to hack. The reason why, I mean, Bitcoin has never been hacked even up to today.
And I'm sure somebody would have tried if they...
I mean, there are incidents where the developers, because there's a group of developers that maintain the code on a regular basis, that they've picked up improvements and things that they've changed over time. But the code itself, there's nobody that has really lost coins through a hack, except through exchanges being hacked, because we're now trying to create another centralization of coins through an exchange. And then the exchange itself is now compromised and people have lost money when the money they've put in exchanges get hacked.
You see, that's the thing. When it comes to your life and your well-being and money, people are always going to be skeptical into doing something that might affect things that like might affect their livelihood, right?
Yes.
And that's why I think many people are more reserved.
Yes.
And how you're making the example of many people didn't want to make that whole shift to from using horse and cart to start using automotives, right?
Yes.
Because they didn't know whether they were going to survive that whole ride.
Yes.
The same way people were skeptical about getting into a plane for the first time.
Yes.
How would you, to somebody out there who's still saying, I'm not too sure, I'm not sold.
Yeah.
What would be one thing that you would say to them?
I would say to them that Bitcoin and crypto is safer than your money being in the bank.
I hate the bank. Can we just side note from that? Yeah. Bank charges are crazy. They keep my money when I could just keep it in a... So I hate the bank.
Do you know that the banks don't actually keep all the money that you've deposited in there?
It's mostly debt.
Everybody today looked at their bank balance and went to the ATM to withdraw their money out, the banks would run out of money because the bank only has to keep a certain percentage of the money you deposit and they take the rest and they lend it out. So your money is not there in the bank. It's not there.
It's to somebody else.
And it's created also by the Reserve Bank just printing more money. It's just numbers on a computer.
Okay.
It's really, there was a time when money was based on gold, when it was backed by gold. That was safer because you could take your note and you could go to the bank and you could get gold for it. You know, there's no gold backing any currency today. Your currency is actually just fictitious numbers on a computer that somebody printed. Unlike Bitcoins, yes, you could argue that it's also fictitious numbers, but actually no one is going to be printing more. It's sitting in my phone. When you have Bitcoins, they're sitting in your wallet where you control. That, you know, no one can shut that bank account down. You know, you can't just lose it. It's there, it's secure, it's yours.
I feel like the people in Silicon Valley right now are saying, listen people, trust Bertha in the collared t-shirt with Get Bitcoins Now written on it, rather than your Bob from First Rand National. You know what I'm saying? Because those are the people, with the suit and ties, and you're thinking, yeah, no, this guy's going to make me money. Your consultants from Allen Gray and all of these other investment companies.
And your money is not there. Your money is actually not there in the bank. It's not there.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the future of Bitcoin and how we see the world running once it becomes, assuming that it does become the currency that we all use, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking at what you said earlier about entrepreneurs have to be involved. For it to work, everybody has to be on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Yes.
Like in terms of that poor kid who's trying to get Bitcoins, who's trying to use it to buy stuff, you know, everybody has to be on it. How long or... why would I invest in Bitcoin if I'm not sure that it's going to take place? Are you, because you're more in the game, are you 100% sure that this is just how the system's going to work? Are we going to do away with money completely? People will never have to have paper money in their pockets. Or is it something where we can live in a dual future where you can have money, you can have Bitcoin, you can use them simultaneously and they'll both work perfectly? Or do we have to do away with the cash system completely in order for Bitcoin to flourish around the world, in order to become the way we run our finances, the way we trade?
Yeah,
because you see, what I like about it is that it's almost a bartering system, you know, and I've always felt like that's the kind of system that we need to go back to as a society, where we trade with each other as opposed to external institutions. You know, I get my food through Checkers, then it comes back to me, you know. So what is the clear
the
sign, the red flag that this is the future?
Yeah, no, this is the future. There's a saying, one of my favorite Bitcoin saying, that Bitcoin will do to banks what email did to the post office.
Ooh.
There will be a time where we will look at banks and say,
sorry, that was too much of a bar. what?
Bitcoin will do to banks what email did to the post office.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to happen. It's not a matter of if. It's just a matter of how it's going to happen.
Yes.
Because I think what we will see multiple currencies evolving for different applications. And we're already seeing it now, and I think that's going to grow. Mm. Bitcoin was the first, so it was the first one that opened people's eyes to this blockchain and to this way of that you can actually design systems that don't need central oversight. Mm. So Bitcoin was the first one to come up with that. Bitcoin might not be the only currency that ever exists. There will be other cryptocurrencies. We already see.
There already are. There's Litecoin. Apparently that doubled yesterday on the market.
Yes. There's many coins. But what I tell people, if you want to invest and especially invest in, pick one coin that will be big, that you can retire in a couple of years, you need to start looking at what are these coins doing? What is the value behind them? That's one of the things I do. I research a lot of these coins and I try to figure out what's the utility behind it. So there's 1,300 or more than 1,300 coins out there, but maybe 90% of them are just crap, shit coins. 90% of them are shit coins and they will collapse in no time. Mm. But there is that 1%, I mean that 10% that's going to be useful.
What makes a good quality?
So I'll give you one example. One of my favorite coins, it's one of the first coins I invested in. It's called IOTA. Mm. It's a cryptocurrency it's one of the first ones that allows microtransactions and it's got absolutely zero fees on the system. I see this coin becoming big because it's going to solve a lot of problems. If I want to send if I want to go to Pick and Pay and buy cigarettes and pay with crypto and the cigarettes cost, 20 rand, I can't do that with Bitcoin because the transaction fees alone will kill me. Mm. But I can do that with a coin like IOTA, which will have no fees. I can just pay the exact amount that I'm trying to pay for. Okay. That's one of the interesting things. But a better thing about IOTA is how it's designed for the Internet of Things. I know you've heard about the Internet of Things. Machine-to-machine communication. This is where we'll have, your coffee machine talking to your diary, talking to your fridge, talking to your house security. Before you wake up, your lights will go on because your alarm is going to set them on and then your coffee machine will just go on because this is when you're going to wake up, and then you will get in your car, you'll drive to work. If you get caught up in traffic, your navigation will just go around it because there'll be sensors all over trying to figure out which is the best route to get to work. If you really cannot make it, it'll email your diary. Your diary will email SMSs. You're going to be late for this meeting. Things will just happen automatically. That's going to happen. Mm. It's estimated that billions and billions of devices are going to be connected in the Internet of Things.
Mm-hmm.
And these devices have to talk to each other.
Mm.
Your fridge is going to have to talk to Pick and Pay and order milk when you run out of milk. And things like that.
On some Black Mirror-ian.
And how it's going to happen is, it's a beautiful thing, but one of the things that has sort of not enabled the Internet of Things to happen is the payment mechanism. You're going to need a payment mechanism for the Internet of Things.
Mm.
Because if your fridge talks to Pick and Pay and orders milk from Pick and Pay, how is Pick and Pay going to get paid?
Yes.
Are you going to input your credit card details in all your machines that every time it needs to get something, it just pays off your credit card account? You wouldn't do that because...
you might just get into hella debt.
You're going to get into trouble, yes. And how do you control that nobody hacks your fridge and get your credit card?
Yeah, sometimes folks are drinking your milk and now you don't have milk, have money.
People are savage.
So traditional monetary systems didn't allow for the payment to happen with the Internet of Things.
Mm.
You needed something that... you needed like a form of programmable money that you could put in the fridge and give the fridge a wallet where you would limit the amount of money that's in that fridge, but also program that money. So because you're going to have to write a program. You have to write a smart contract on your fridge, and you're going to tell your fridge, every time the milk reaches this level, you can order milk from... This is a list of restaurants of supermarkets, but you're gonna pick the cheapest one because these are all the prices.
Mm.
So if Pick and Pay is cheaper today, you will order it from Pick and Pay, and then that milk maybe will get delivered by drone, and the drone also has to get paid for delivering your milk. How will it will have to get paid? How will it get paid? It just so your fridge has to do all this payment systems. Maybe it's just a 1 rand here and a 2 rand there for the drone to deliver the milk. This Internet of Things can only work when you've got a cryptocurrency that can allow microtransactions that you can program. So if somebody hacks my fridge, even if somebody hacks my fridge and they get into my wallet, they literally can't take that money because that money is programmed to only pay for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 from this shop after checking the price or things like that. So you've programmed your money, it will only do what you've programmed it for. The only way it comes back to you is if, you know, the program doesn't allows it to. So that's where smart contracts come in. So this is the future of things. So one way or the other, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. You know,
I must admit, I'm convinced because I wasn't sure.
Yes.
But when you speak about the future of things, I've obviously heard about it and seen it starting to happen almost.
Yes.
So it just makes sense that I can't pay cash for those types of things.
Yes.
So I'm going to have to use some. I'm going to have to.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So Bitcoin is the guy right now.
Yeah.
I'm very much convinced. But right now that we're not there yet.
Yes.
How can I get cash out of my Bitcoin? If I start with cash, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't stay on the internet. Can I get cash out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So the way the exchanges are operating now, you can just open an account there. You deposit your money. You can watch it grow. I think 6 months is usually sufficient time. And then you just go back to the same exchange and you withdraw that money out as cash.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I wouldn't have to pay with Bitcoin once I've invested in it. Like, let's say I invest 2,000 Rand. 6 months from now, it's 10,000 Rand. I can only use Bitcoins to get what I want.
No.
I can withdraw 10,000 Rand cash.
You can withdraw it as cash.
Dope.
Because the way the exchanges work is it's in and out. There's always someone looking to buy. So the exchanges, imagine the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, how it works. You go in there's someone selling stock, someone buying stock. You exchange between each other.
Mm.
So there's always somebody wanting to buy Bitcoin, somebody wanting to sell Bitcoins. So you all meet at the exchange and you exchange from each other. So the person who's buying gives the cash and the person who's selling, and then the software distributes the money according to who sold who. So you can actually just sell your coins and get the money out.
Mm.
But what I want to mention here is exchanges are exchanges. People must just note that. I see a lot of people buying Bitcoins on exchanges and keeping them there for like 2-5 years and then trying to go back later to cash them out. That is a big mistake, because now they're going to become the banks of the future, and we don't want that. The exchanges are exchanges. You go in there, you exchange your money for Bitcoins, then you take your Bitcoins out.
Mm.
You put them in a safe wallet where you control the keys, where you control the money. If you want to spend them, you can spend them. If you want to just keep them, if you want to exchange them for another currency, for example, you can do that. Because once you have Bitcoin, then you've entered the crypto highway. You can now buy any of the 1,300 coins using your Bitcoins in any exchange anywhere in the world. Because now Bitcoin is transferable instantly. You can transfer it to an US exchange and buy coins from a US exchange. You now are open in the crypto world.
Yeah.
That's what most people tend to do. Then when you are ready to sell your coins, then you take them back to the exchange and you sell them.
Okay.
You know, so don't fall into that trap of putting your money in an exchange and leaving it there and thinking you've invested it. That's not how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, because my biggest concern was that I'll put money in and only be able to use it as a Bitcoin. And there aren't many institutions that accept Bitcoin. What are the institutions that currently accept Bitcoin?
There's a couple. I know Pick and Pay is investigating it.
Mm-hmm.
There's That's Take huge. A Lot you can buy on Take a Lot with Bitcoins. There's a lot of online stores. They will have the Bitcoin Sun accepted here. There isn't a lot of physical stores that I've walked into and seen them accepting Bitcoin. But obviously, I think it's not a matter
made
of
for
time.
Yeah, it's not, but it's not made for physical buying.
Yeah. I think it was designed for that. But because of the fees now and those issues, many people are, and the volatility of it. So it's hard to price your things because the value of the coin is always going up and down, up and down.
I can't wait until strippers and prostitutes start taking Bitcoin.
Coins will make a dance.
Coins will make a dance. All these chicks popping titties.
It's a matter of time.
Coins.
It's only a matter of time.
Oh, but that's going to take the novelty out of throwing dollars on the stripper.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
You'll be using your phone and, like, you know, sort of like, you know, swapping the QR code.
Chicks will have like the QR codes tattooed on
their ass.
The thing is, it'll be difficult to actually transfer if she's shaking it out. Baby, baby,
All right. On that note, let's take a little bit of a break. I am having such a fantastic conversation, Bertha. We're going to keep going after this.
Yeah.
This is dope, man. This is really dope. You listen to the West, guys. And we're the best in the world. The name's Ironic, bitch. Gotta check us out on all the streets, man. We out here on social media. We're living in the future. That's what the West, guys, is about, right? All the time. We live in the future. We live in the future.
You know, I don't even think it's we living in the future. We're trying to bring the future to the people. We from the future. I don't know if you already know. Some people think I was born in 1992. Okay. I was born in 19,920.
Yeah.
10,000 years before.
All right. Anyway, let's get into a little bit of a break and we'll be back right now. Cause we had a she. Hallelujah. Pick your poison, tell me what you do. Everybody gon' respect the shooter, but the one in front of the gun lives forever.
One in front of the gun, one forever.
And I've been hustling all day, this away, that away, through canals and alleyways, just to say, money trees is the perfect place for shading. That's just how I feel.
Be the last one out to get this dough. No way. No way. We can't be the last ones to get on this Bitcoin wave if we're the future. Right?
Cryptocurrency is the best place for shade.
And that's just how I feel.
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah. Bitcoin might turn to your bane, bitch. That's just how I feel.
Next thing you know, I mean, these girls are gonna be on some, you know, the blessees. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, umbecha kadi 100 lili 200. Dika di Bitcoin. Dika di Bitcoin.
Yeah. That was Money Trees, Kendrick Lamar, featuring J Rock. Yeah. We're talking Bitcoin. The future of currency in this world, man. There's really. So much value to it, as I'm learning today. I didn't know how important it actually is in terms of how we plan on living in the future. The future of things, where all our technology will be connected together. They need to have guabs too. Our technology needs money too. You know what I say? So cryptocurrency seems to be that future for us. All right. Anyway, enough of that. Let's go into some news stories that we have this week. You know the words, guys. We always tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. And we always take our own take on things, you know, not just what the other people are saying. Listen to us. We've got the juice.
That's way more in trouble again. Way more penny at it again. Read about it. Extra, place grab young fella, and extra. Read all about it. Life story of Playboy Penny.
All right. So the first story that has caught our attention over the last week has to do with Steinoth. Actually, we did just mention a little bit about them and the fraud that took place there by Marcus Uster. This is what you're saying about Bitcoin, is that there can't be a Marcus Uster who's going to cost your company 194 billion rand, you know, because there's nobody observing from their own sign, you know, so you can take care of your money personally.
There's no central person that is in charge of your money. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Unless if you decide to keep your money in an exchange, then you are giving that central institution. To be honest, let's say it can happen. If you put your money in an exchange, we've seen an incident with an exchange called Mt. Gox.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the most popular exchanges at the time. So at the time, I think 2013, it was the biggest exchange in the world, based out of Japan. And that exchange suddenly just shut down. Mm-hmm. So people woke up one morning and they went to look at their bitcoins and the money was just gone. And then the CEO of that exchange then announced that they've been hacked. And they've lost the money. But then it was later tracked that he actually had stole the money himself and claimed to have been hacked.
Mm-hmm.
So if you choose to invest in this decentralized technology and then still centralize it by giving it to an exchange and your money disappears, well, that's your own fault.
Yeah.
Technically, the system is designed not to allow that to happen if you keep your coins yourself. That's what I advise people. Do not give it to another person to keep it on your behalf. The technology allows you to do that.
Dope. So here's my bug with the Steinoff saga. All right, this guy, he was brilliant, right? He was a genius. He's putting South Africa on the map, top 15 on the JSC. We're making money from this guy, but
He's
cooking the books. You see, this is...
Yeah, listen, whoa. Before you throw him under the bus, which obviously he needs to be thrown under the bus, he's not the only one.
That's the thing.
Only one to get caught.
That's exactly what I'm leading to, is that it's so scary how little we know about what the people at the top are doing.
Yeah.
It's the whole transparency. It comes back down to everybody just being transparent.
Yeah.
I was watching, I don't know if anybody's watched this movie here, Why Him?
Yeah.
It's just this guy who's like a computer geek, like tech geek and all of that, dating the daughter of this this printing company father and whatnot, and he just doesn't understand why his daughter would go for somebody like that, you know what I'm saying? But he's the most honest guy ever. He has tattoos everywhere, and he swears a lot, but he's the most honest and genuine person ever.
Yeah.
I'd rather trust somebody like that.
Him, yes.
You know, than somebody who says, no, I work at Steinhoff. You know, I wear suit and tie every day. You know, I drive a Mercedes Benz.
The guys in the suits are the real devils.
Yeah. We need to change our mindsets. We need to change the way we look at the world. Why are we so easy to trust someone? Because they've got a degree and they're wearing a suit and they're sitting on the
chair. Not even if they have a degree. Why do we trust the ANC to elect the best leader of the country? Yeah. How? You know, like... That's why I keep coming back to this voting thing, but it seems the most ridiculous thing to me that we continue to go and put these people into power when they continue to fuck us over.
Yeah.
And in every country, always. So you need to start thinking about what are you voting for? I'm not saying don't contribute to your society. Let's just think about a different way to make our society better, because right now it's not for everybody. Mm. It's not working for everybody. But cryptocurrency can.
Yeah.
Because you're in charge. And we look out for each other as a society. We look over it as a society, should I say, rather. So when we, the people, govern, the world will become a better place. Not when we are governed by.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is my biggest problem with how we think about society, in that this is how the system is. This is how it's always worked. But this is why we need to change it, because how it's always worked hasn't worked.
We need to change it.
Yeah.
Completely agreed.
100%. Okay, so that's the Steinhoff story. And in more local news, the High Court in Pretoria ruled that the appointment of the NPA head, Sean Abrahams, was invalid. This is Jacob Zuma's puppet in the NPA. The reason why he's been able to dodge those 783 charges for so long was the fact that he had the power over somebody like this. So what they ruled is that Cyril is to elect a new NPA head within 60 days. So that we don't have that. But
also, see, this is still 60 days. Why must it take that long? You're already in 2018 by then.
Yeah, maybe we should just give him some space to breathe, because we want them to find somebody dope.
You give them space to breathe, they do gnolls. You put a time constraint on it, the time constraint is too long.
Why
can't they act with immediate effect?
Yeah.
But now, if I'm doing gnolls, My prison, my jail sentence, they don't say, okay, we'll sentence you in 60 days.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, they do. You don't get thrown in jail immediately.
I'm sitting in a holding cell.
Goodbye.
I'm not sitting at home unless I'm Oscar.
Yeah.
I hear you.
But anyway, Zuma's trash. Okay, and then the last bit of international news that we got, Apple is buying Shazam.
Okay.
Apple is buying Shazam, which I think is a major buy. Like, Apple is one of those companies that are going to lead the technological future of ours. Apple, Google, whatever.
Mm.
But how much money do these guys have to just go around, you know, stepping on people and just taking Shazam, taking everything that exists? Because Shazam is a pretty dope app.
I thought they already had something like that, because I've seen one of my friends at work with an iPhone. Not necessarily using Shazam, as per se, they were using Siri. Siri, what song is this? Putting it close to the speaker. And then Siri would then spit back out the precise song and the artist.
Yeah. Well, maybe now that they own Shazam, they own the rights to
That technology.
Yeah. So I just thought it was interesting. It's not even really like big news, but I'm like, damn, Apple's out here dominating. And I'm out here for the dominators. I'm out here for the winners, because same WhatsApp group.
Yeah. What it's showing me more and more is that the importance of ownership. It boils back to that. Once you can put like copyrights and trademarks on specific things that they are yours, people are going to come back for what's theirs and what's rightfully theirs in terms of royalties.
Yeah.
So you must just try and find Shazam one song. utapatala ranta.
Yeah, yeah. All right, all right, all right. That's about it from us from the news. We actually had such a good conversation, longer than usual, but it's because it's interesting and it's the future and it's something that we need to learn. So just to quickly wrap up, Bertha, please just tell us, where can I go right now? I have 1,000 rand in my pocket or in my bank, and I want to invest in Bitcoin when we leave the studio today. What must I, as Malcolm Shirley, do?
Okay, so I'm running a website called getbitcoinsnow.co.za. So you can go right now, www.getbitcoinsnow.co.za, and you can click on the button at the top that says buy now. And what we've enabled people to do now is buy with a credit card, which will be instant. You can swipe your card and you can get your bitcoins immediately. That's why we call ourselves Get Bitcoins Now. We also have enabled an instant exchange on our website where you can swipe between all these different cryptocurrencies. You don't have it anywhere in South Africa right now. You can only buy Bitcoin and Ethereum maybe from the biggest exchanges. You can now go to our link and buy any other currency that you want.
All right, all right, all right. That's so cool. www.getbitcoinsnow.co.za. That's exactly what I'm going to be doing when I leave the studio today. But before that, we got to wrap up with a Worst Guy Cypher. As we always do on this show, we make a song on the spot. I've been saying we can make, how many albums can we make now with all the music that we're dropping on this Worst Guy Cypher? We really do hope you guys enjoy it. I don't think anybody's doing this freestyling thing the way we're doing this freestyling thing, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's get right into it. It's the Worst Guy Cypher, baby.
Hey. Ooh. Ha. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Got coins, and you know it. Take them out your wallet and trade them. This away, that away. Cryptocurrency is the future, and the worst guys see that. And that we are gonna go and trade them. This away, that away.
This away, that away. We just stop playing these games, cause we're gonna get this cryptocurrency. It's all the same. We're just trying to get the cheddar. We're trying to get the money. Doesn't matter if it's in the bank or if it's in the cryptocurrency. Yeah. So I'ma go to www.getbitcoinsnow.co.za, and I'm not even gonna play. I'm gonna invest about a million. Maybe tomorrow it will be three. So I don't give a fuck about who you are. The future is coming, and we are the stars.
Yeah.
So we're telling you about the future. Come through with us, do it. Because we don't care about you and how you doing.
Hey, got coins, and you know it. Take them out your wallet and trade them. This away, that away. The currency, the future, and the worst guys, please. So come and trade with the worst guys, please. This away, that away. One Bitcoin, now I got two coins. Everybody wanna come and join. This away, that away. If I have a million Bitcoin for you, everybody wanna just come through and chill with me. R-E-H-A-B, I'ma be a legendary Bitcoins tradee or a trader. Everybody knows it's the new wave here. Yeah, we ride in waves and we ride in cryptocurrency. It's so easy. Listen to Bertha on the Worst Podcast. You see, hey, the worst guys are the future. We're talking about the things that you were not used to. We're talking about money in a different way. I'm not trying to get the cash. I'm trying to get it the Bitcoin way. Hey, and everybody wanna come and play on the airwaves with the Cliff Central legendary Malcolm Dule and R-A-H-A to the B. Yeah. Got coins, and you know it. Take them out your pocket and hey, this away, that away. Yeah, this away. That away.
It's the worst, guys.
Cryptocurrency, you see.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us, brother.
Worst guys, dude.
Thank you for having me.
We really enjoyed it. We really did. Get your guaps, man.
Wake up.
We out.
This is CliffCentral.com.